Attribution Theory and Self-Efficacy, OCR A-Level Physical Education, Topic 5.4, a study podcast for A-Level students. Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and genuinely useful areas of the entire OCR A-Level PE specification, Attribution Theory and Self-Efficacy. That's Topic 5.4. Whether you're revising for your written paper or just trying to make sense of why athletes respond so differently to winning and losing, this episode has got you covered. Over the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to break down Weiner's attribution theory, explore Bandura's self-efficacy model, talk through the exam technique you need to pick up those higher level marks, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test yourself. So grab a pen, maybe pause and jot things down as we go, and let's get into it. Let's start with Weiner. Bernard Weiner proposed his attribution theory in 1979, and the central idea is beautifully simple. After any sporting outcome, a win, a loss, a personal best, athletes ask themselves, why did that happen? The answer they give, the attribution they make, has a massive impact on their future motivation and behavior. Weiner organized these attributions along two key dimensions. The first is the locus of causality, and here's your first exam trap, so listen carefully. It is locus of causality, not locus of control. Candidates lose marks every year by writing locus of control, which is a completely different concept from Rotter's work. Don't be one of them. Locus of causality simply asks, is the cause of this outcome internal to me or external outside of me? The second dimension is stability. Is this cause something that stays the same over time or can it change? Put those two dimensions together and you get the famous 2x2 grid. Let me walk you through all four quadrants. Internal and stable gives you ability. So if a swimmer says, I lost because I'm just not a strong enough swimmer, that's an internal stable attribution. It's about them and it doesn't change easily. Internal and unstable gives you effort. I lost because I didn't train hard enough this week. That's internal. It's about the athlete, but it's unstable because effort can change from day to day. External and stable gives you task difficulty. The opposition were just a much higher ranked team. That's outside the athlete's control, and it's a stable factor. The opponent's ranking doesn't change overnight. And external and unstable gives you luck. The referee made a terrible call against us. External, and it can change. Luck varies every game. Now, here's where it gets really interesting for exam purposes. The quadrant that matters most for motivation is effort, internal and unstable. Why? Because if an athlete attributes failure to lack of effort, they are saying, I can change this. I can work harder next time. That preserves motivation and keeps them coming back. Compare that to attributing failure to ability, internal and stable. If an athlete believes they simply don't have the ability and ability doesn't change, they start to feel there's no point trying. This is the pathway to what we call learned helplessness, a state where the athlete believes that no matter what they do, failure is inevitable. They give up, they disengage, their performance deteriorates. Learned helplessness can be global, affecting all sporting contexts, or specific, affecting only one particular sport or skill. Examiners want you to make that distinction. Don't just say, they lose confidence. That's not precise enough for the higher marks. So how do coaches intervene? Through attribution retraining. This is the process of deliberately shifting an athlete's attributions away from internal and stable causes, away from ability, and towards internal and unstable causes, towards effort. A coach might say to a gymnast who has just fallen on the beam, you know what? That fall happened because you rushed your preparation today. Your effort in the warm-up wasn't focused. Next time, we fix that. That's attribution retraining in action. The coach is not dismissing the failure. They're reframing its cause as something changeable. Now, let's connect this to the self-serving bias because this is another concept that candidates often describe without actually explaining its function. The self-serving bias is the tendency for athletes to attribute success to internal factors, ability and effort, and failure to external factors, luck and task difficulty. The function, and this is what gets you the marks, is that it protects self-esteem. By taking credit for wins and deflecting blame for losses, the athlete maintains a positive self-image and stays motivated. It's a psychological defense mechanism. Right, now let's move to Bandura. Albert Bandura's self-efficacy model, published in 1977, is about task-specific confidence, your belief in your ability to perform a specific task in a specific situation. It's not general self-confidence, it's targeted. A footballer might have high self-efficacy for taking penalties, but low self-efficacy for heading the ball. That distinction matters. Bandura identified four antecedents. four sources that raise or lower self-efficacy. And examiners want you to know them in order of potency, because that's where the evaluation marks come from. The most powerful source is performance accomplishments, your own past successes. If you've successfully completed a difficult vault in gymnastics before, your belief that you can do it again is high. Past success is the strongest builder of self-efficacy, and past failure is the strongest destroyer of it. Second is vicarious experiences, watching someone similar to yourself succeed. The key word here is similar. If a young sprinter watches Usain Bolt, the effect on their self-efficacy is limited because Bolt seems superhuman. But if they watch a teammate of similar ability run a personal best, the thought, if they can do it, so can I, is powerful. This is the principle behind modeling and coaching. Third is verbal persuasion, encouragement from coaches, teammates, or significant others. You can do this, you've put in the work, from a trusted coach can raise self-efficacy. However, verbal persuasion is less potent than the first two sources because words alone, without evidence, can ring hollow. Fourth and least potent is emotional arousal, the athlete's interpretation of their own physiological state. Feeling your heart racing before a competition can be interpreted as anxiety, which lowers self-efficacy, or as excitement and readiness, which raises it. Cognitive restructuring techniques help athletes make that positive interpretation. The critical link between the two theories, and this is what separates the top band responses, is this. The attributions an athlete makes directly affect their self-efficacy. If after a loss an athlete attributes the cause to lack of effort, internal, unstable, they maintain their belief in their ability and self-efficacy stays high. If they attribute to lack of ability, internal, stable, self-efficacy drops, and learned helplessness can follow. Let's talk exam technique, because knowing the theory is only half the battle. The most common mistake I see is candidates confusing locus of control with locus of causality. They are not the same thing. Locus of causality is Wiener's term. Write it correctly every time. The second big mistake is listing Bandura's four antecedents without applying them to the scenario in the question. If the question gives you a specific athlete, say a tennis player who has lost three matches in a row, you must apply each antecedent to that specific context. Don't just define them in the abstract. Third, when you're asked to explain learned helplessness, don't just say the athlete loses confidence. You need to explain the mechanism that repeated failure attributed to stable, uncontrollable causes leads to the belief that outcomes are independent of behavior. That's the definition that earns marks. Fourth, the self-serving bias question. Candidates describe it. They say athletes blame external factors for failure, but they forget to explain why. The function is self-esteem protection and motivation maintenance. Always explain the function. For extended responses, use this structure. Define the concept precisely, apply it to the scenario with a specific example, then analyze the implications, what happens to motivation, performance, or persistence as a result. The AO1, AO2, AO3 progression is exactly what the mark scheme rewards. Remember, AO3, analysis and evaluation, carries 40% of the marks in this topic, so don't just describe, analyze. Right, let's test you. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1. Name Wiener's two dimensions of attribution. The answer is locus of causality and stability. Question 2. Which attribution quadrant is the most motivationally damaging and why? Internal unstable, ability, because it implies the cause cannot be changed, leading to learned helplessness. Question 3. What is the most potent of Bandura's four antecedents? Performance accomplishments, past successes. Question 4. What is the function of the self-serving bias? To protect self-esteem by attributing success internally and failure externally. Question 5. What is attribution retraining? The process of shifting attributions from internal and stable, ability, to internal and unstable effort to prevent learned helplessness and maintain motivation. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered Wiener's 2x2 attribution model. Remember the four quadrants: ability, effort, task difficulty, and luck. And we've explored how attributing failure to effort rather than ability is the key to maintaining motivation and preventing learned helplessness. We've looked at attribution retraining as the coach's tool to shift those attributions, and we've broken down Bandura's four antecedents of self-efficacy in order of potency, from performance accomplishments down to emotional arousal. The big exam takeaway: always link these two theories together. Show the examiner that you understand how attributions directly influence self-efficacy. That Synoptic connection is what gets you into the top band. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those past papers, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck!